He is co-editor of DC Beer.
That sounds like a job I'd
We've
want.
Got a lot of people, so I want to run through it.
Dave Mavoli's here. He's the Mid-Atlantic Regional Market Manager for Duvel Mortgat USA. They do Omegang and a bunch of other good stuff. We'll be talking to him about the kickoff event on the Odyssey tonight.
Right.
And we've got a real turncoat here. The cocktail lady, the mistress of mixology.
Now, what are you doing here?
Gina Cersavani has come over to the dark side. She's in talking the beer program at Hank's and Hank's BBQ and Brewers on the Block and all that. I can barely look at you.
Where, you really think I'm changing?
You're the Benedict Arnold of beer. And Brandon Scald's here from fabulous, famous DC Brow. We're going to talk to him about the Crab Fest on the quarter deck. And when we're done talking to everybody, we're going to have a little round table with deep, you know, insightful, pithy questions.
About beer.
Oh, I said pithy, too.
Okay.
All right.
Fancy.
So, Dave, let's talk to you a little. Talk about Three Stars for the folks out there
that don't
know.
Because it's been a big year for Three Stars.
It has been a big year. On August 9th, we celebrated having beer in the market for 2 years. My partner, Mike McGarvey, and I have been working on this project for about 6 years, getting it to where it is now.
Where's Mike? You don't let him come on the radio? Is that how that is?
He's got other things to do.
He's so good. So erudite and urbane.
But Mike and I have been focused on putting together, you know, pushing the envelope, trying new ingredients, trying new styles. In the 2 years we've had beer in the market, we've released over 35 different beers. So we're always focusing on innovation and trying something new.
But you've also expanded, right?
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about that and what that means for you guys.
Okay. So we just did an expansion that will allow us to produce about 3 times what we did last year. So we're looking at about 3,000 barrels this year. And we just started bottling a couple weeks ago. So
is it a challenge to expand your markets, or are current customers going to eat all that up? How's that going to work?
Current customers are eating a lot of it. We're unable to satisfy a lot of the demand in D.C. while we were still at the former size. But now we're also looking at Virginia and possibly going into Maryland as well.
Well, that's kind of one of the questions we're going to ask later to everybody. But how do you get beyond D.C.? And is that important to get beyond D.C.?
I think it's important to satisfy your home market first, which is D.C. for us. That's most important to us. But moving beyond D.C. requires distribution partnerships. And those are tenuous things.
Beautiful. So. Is it all you competitors can be in the room? Brandon just left. He said he was going to the restroom, but he's letting the air out of your tires. But I wouldn't worry. You'll get home.
It's fine. I can go Uber.
So, well, we have a couple more minutes with you. How does that affect being a pure craft beer versus, I don't know, becoming something bigger? I know what the classic definition is now, but
what is the classic definition, David? Tell us.
600,000 barrels or less, right?
I think it's under 2 million now. It's 2 million or under.
They bump it?
Yeah, but also there's
but
the
how
definition
can that be craft?
Has to do with ingredients. Right. So you have to be primarily making malt-based beverages. So that's a big part of the definition as
all
well.
All right, but I mean, do people come to you when you expand and go, you know, craft beer in my head is like, you know, somebody at home, you know, mixing stuff over the sink and all that. So, you know, it's artsy-fartsy. It's not mass-produced. So how do you address that?
You always got to just stay true to your own self. And, you know, I think the word integrity is probably the biggest word in craft beer. And people lose that sometimes when they get too big. And Mike and I are definitely not going to lose that. That's kind of our middle names.
Well, let's talk about some of the beers you're producing for DC Beer Week and some of the events that you're going to be you're participating in so many events. But
right.
Let's talk some of the highlights for you.
We're doing a Battle of the Barrel Age Beers with DC Brow over at Boundary Stone on Tuesday.
Is this like a gauntlet thrown kind of thing, House of Beer?
Yeah, Brandon basically called me up and he was like, I'm way better than you. And I was like, okay, I'll take that challenge, bro. And so we've got a...
Don't hurt yourself nodding, Brandon.
We've got a barrel-aged pandemic that we aged in a Woodford Reserve barrel. And a real special treat is Dome.
Wait. Pandemic?
Yeah, pandemic.
He's brought it in before.
But the license to name things,
you
know, pandemic and raging bitch should have a baby.
No. Pandemic's totally different.
But I know, but I'm saying, like, the names are so great.
I think that came from The Wire, if I'm not correct, Dave.
No comment. Pleading the fifth on that. But we also have Two to the Dome, which is our double IPA, which we aged in an apple brandy barrel that will be debuting, and that beer is spanking. So.
Why? What is it about it? Like, tell us about
the apple brandy barrel imparted so much different flavors that complement the hop character and the malt character, and the beer itself just sings. And there's not a whole lot of apple brandy barrel-aged beers out there, so it's kind of something new.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right, well, let's bring Miles up to the mic. Miles, come on over there. Go squeeze in over there.
Sure.
We have a lot of people in studio. Everybody's got to find some room for each other.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Miles. So tell us what's been going on. You guys got a new concept that you're just launching.
Yeah, just launched Smith Public Trust. Just another fun neighborhood-friendly spot, craft beer-focused, good food. It's a progressive space. This place is a little bit more educational.
For people who don't know where it is, tell us where it is.
Oh, it's in Brooklyn over in Northeast by Catholic University.
Okay. Yeah. And tell us about it, like what people can expect there. What you're doing, give us more information.
It's a neighborhood concept. It's mm-hmm. About the people. It's for the people. You have to kind of come in and see it. The art on the wall is done by a gentleman named Andrew Pizzicani, mm-hmm. A.K.A. Gaia. He's rated the number one street artist on the globe.
Right.
And we put up a bunch of artistic characters and artistic representations of D.C. and America in general. So
is he local or is he New York?
He's out of Baltimore, but he does stuff in New York, Australia, all over the globe.
That's a coup. How do you even find that guy?
He's a good friend. Same way you find these guys in here, just sitting down, having a good beer somewhere, and then, you know, you start telling stories, and next thing you know, this guy's up on the ladder painting your wall. And that's kind of how it happens.
Yeah, can you give him my home address?
I will.
Well, let's talk about what you guys have going on with DC Beer Week.
Sure. Well, this year, we're continuing the tradition that was started by Teddy Folkman and Jeff Wells. We're just trying to make sure that this year we do a better job of educating people and of bringing in other parts of the culture into beer.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean, really?
So we're all beer nerds. We're beer geeks. You know, we're fans of the art, fans of the craft. And I think sometimes what we do is we get a little bit caught up in that and forget to reach out into other segments of the community. Mm-hmm. We kind of take it for granted that everybody loves beer and everybody knows beer, but that's not exactly the case. There's still a lot of people who are getting introduced to craft beer as an art form and craft beer as a representation of D.C. specifically. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do a better job this year of creating educational events so that people can learn about what's going on and not really be off-put about the culture, mm-hmm. as well as just making sure that everybody outside of the beer culture and beer community knows how much fun it is to be a part of this thing that we do.
Well, what's an educational event feel like? Like, what, who comes to that and what are you imparting?
So you get all walks of life. You get people who are longtime beer brewers. You get people who have been brewing craft beer in their basement or their garage for a long time. And you have people who are just complete newbies, complete novices to the industry who'll come and, you know, just kind of want to learn what's going on. They hear so much about it. You see these TV commercials coming up. You see all your favorite bars and restaurants doing stuff in craft beer. Mm-hmm. And people really want to, you know, find out, you know, what goes on behind that veil.
Yeah, but you're doing stuff that isn't at that level. It goes beyond that, like the one about women brewers. I mean, it's been a boys, you know, club, boys game. I guess that's why Gina's...
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Gina's here.
Gina went still.
She's evening it out.
Boy, is she a girl. She's got a baby in there and everything. But I mean, you know, what's the story on that?
Yeah,
women brewers.
There are a lot of misconceptions about craft beer as well. It's a bit of a misconception that it's a boys game. I think in its presentation or in its representation, it looks like a male-dominated industry, but there's no way that craft beer would be what it is without women, people of color, all sorts of diverse walks of life that are involved in making beer. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of flag waving that goes on. I think the beer community is very humble in that sense. So
sorry, have you met the people in this room?
Yeah. I know him.
You know, Dave Coleman, you know, I wondered what that was dripping out of him. It's humility. My God.
No, it really, I mean, you have to really look at that. I mean, if you know, Dave, Mike, you know, Brandon, some of these guys who make this beer, if you really talked about them or put them in context where they are as far as artists goes, these guys would be at the top list of, you know, any artisan, any cultural renaissance. These guys are actually creating and building that thing. So not only do they produce incredible global class product, but, you know, there's a lot of money flowing through this city in beer. And these guys, you know, you will never see them wave the flag about that. You'll never hear them really brag about their product. You know, they're proud of their product and what they brew, but, you know, they are very humble in that.
Sounds like a love fest. All right, I'm going to ask Dave Moran to step up there. I learned something this morning that I didn't know. Dave is with Clyde's. And I guess most specifically Old Ebbets, is that accurate?
That's accurate. That
and I learned that Old Ebbets is the fourth largest grossing restaurant in the country.
It is indeed.
Oh, Jesus. Accidenti alla Madonna. I can't believe that.
It's unbelievable. It's had a pretty good run since 1856, so.
Oh, you've been accumulating. Exactly. That's not accumulating.
Slowly building.
Oh, my God. All right, so let's talk a little about the beer program at Clyde's and at Old Ebbets and sure. What you guys are going to be doing with Beer Week.
Well, we're on Friday night, the 22nd, we're doing our second annual Brouhaha, which is a...
you just like saying that.
I do like saying it. And it's our second one, so we're joking. Next
They're all
going
to sit around and go, 99 bottles
so
of beer.
So next year it becomes
the
third, we have to become the brew ha ha ha.
Am I wrong? Did you come up with that name last year?
I did, yeah.
I did.
So it's... we bring in nine different brewers and nine chefs from around the city, pair them together, and they come up with two dishes, and the brewmasters come up with two beers to pair with them. And then we just mix it all into a big old cocktail party with a kicking band.
Now, are these all Clyde's chefs? Or?
No, it's all around the city. There's a couple of our chefs, but we've got Scott Druno from The Source.
Who?
The Pig restaurant's in there, Lion Hall at Arlington. So it's really sort of the neighborhood. And last year the event sold out, and it was real interesting. It's a big old cocktail party. And we learned really early on in the event that these brewmasters are like rock stars. The biggest challenge we had during our party was everyone would get to the front of the line and want to talk to the brewmaster.
They want to chat.
So we had to really retool it this year to get those guys out and let them hang with their guests.
Well, we want to talk about that more. We have to take a quick break, so we'll continue when we get back. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We have DC Beer Week in studio. We'll be back in just a sec.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Don't forget Pediococcus. We'll explain that later. Look, everybody's out there writing that down.
Right.
We're talking to Dave Moran from Clyde's in Old Ebbitt. And, you know, you guys, at the fourth largest grossing restaurant in the country, you sell a lot of beer. So how big a portion of that is the craft beer program?
It's really growing. What we saw over the last 10 to 15 years was first the national crafts came on. Line and we're really going after the big boys. We saw the Sierras and the Sam Adams come on.
Sure.
And now what's really happened, that's who the local craft guys are taking that business, because people are coming in, tourists and locals, and they want to drink what's local. And it's really interesting because the local people, they have their favorites. So they're coming to our place and drinking the DC Brow or whatever their favorite beer is. But the tourists are coming in, and this summer has been incredibly popular with tourists for us. And they're just, you can hear them to the bartenders. Hey, what's local and what's good?
But don't you think that has to do a lot with what's happened on the bigger level with restaurants in general and going local and working with farms? I mean, it's just this entire movement.
Absolutely.
That goes sort of hand in hand with it, don't you think?
Absolutely. And it's branding our area. So people are coming in here, and this is now not just, you know, 10, 15 years ago, this wasn't even really a food place. Now it's a dynamic food, beverage, beer, Mm-hmm. I know, we just got, for DC.
That was just a dining destination. It
absolutely.
Is.
We just got named the coolest city in America.
That's right.
Yeah, by that?
Yay, Forbes.
By
Forbes.
Forbes knows cool.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. When I think of Forbes, I think cool.
Right. And
magazine.
Dynamic.
Hey, well, don't knock it. We got it.
Cool. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, they just pulled the plug on next year. Thanks a lot, Coleman. All right, so let's see. Who haven't we talked? Chris Van Orden. Come on up, Chris. Here.
Hey.
You're the one of the editors of DC Beer. And
yes.
Talk about that a little, because who would think that there's an actual publication dedicated to beer?
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people who are into beer in DC know that there's an actual...
No, but I'm saying, I mean, the industry is so big now that there's a pub that you can dedicate to it.
Yeah, I mean, and even just a couple years ago, we were actively out there trying to find news, trying to find content, and now it's just a matter of keeping up. I mean, these guys are churning out new beers every week. There's a new bar. I mean, Miles is opening something. You know, everybody's coming out with something new, so... We're just struggling to keep up and keep everybody informed. And
Coleman, you're expanding, right?
Yeah. You already expanded.
Just expanded. Yeah. Oh, they come.
No, wait. Brandon, you were talking about expanding.
Yeah, we just finished expanding.
You know, you guys look alike. What the hell do I know?
I don't look anything alike.
That beard's rather unique.
But I mean, so that's what you're getting. You're getting a much bigger field of play.
Yeah. Yeah, we are definitely. And we're all doing it pro bono. This is none of our main gigs. So we're just big fans and... trying to go out there, spread the word.
So what are you trying to impart to people? You just want everybody to know what's going on? Do you look for a deeper story? I mean, how does it tell us how it presents itself?
Well, a large portion of what we do is just keeping up with the events. We have a calendar that tries to be comprehensive. Everything craft beer in DC, we want you to be able to find it on our calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go deeper with that. We do interviews with people who... You know, you see the same faces at bars all the time, and you kind of have a feeling you know
drunk.
Who they are.
Yeah. Everybody looks the same after a while.
Yeah, as the night wears on, you know, usually Dave rolls in, and everybody, he's a noticeable guy.
Way to put me on blast.
It's not a bad thing. I was out to dinner last night, and he just walked in the restaurant, and, you know, he's out making his rounds, which is, you know, all the guys are doing that. So if you're into craft beer, you usually see the same people, so we try and introduce you to them. Give you the full story of the everything that's going on in D.C. So mm-hmm. That's the thought.
And let's talk about how your D.C. Beer is participating in D.C. Beer Week.
So D.C. Beer has always sort of been involved in terms of promoting events, just helping to organize things and spreading the word. This year, this is the first year that I'm actually on the steering committee. Previously, it had been my co-editor, Bill DeBon, but he is getting married this year, so he's a little busy these days. And so I've stepped in, and this year we've added a new education component. So in the past, there have been educational events, but nothing formal and nothing organized. This year, we decided to try and roll out a series and have it be very organized and upfront about it, saying we want to inform people as to what craft beer is for the novices, people who may not know yet. And then for the nerds, we have Brewing with Bugs, Pediococcus.
Can we talk about Brewing with Bugs a little bit? I just want to understand...
Yes.
Are we just talking bacteria, or are we talking like crickets? Like, what kind of bugs are we talking about?
Bugs or critters are basically either wild yeast or bacteria.
Okay.
Wild geese?
Yes, wild geese.
Exactly.
Britannomyces, lactobacillus, pediococcus, typically, and they add either funky or sour flavors. The educational event we're doing with that is at Ripe Proper, because they have a sour beer program. And they are also having Mike Tonsmeer, who's the mad fermentationist. He's a blogger. He just wrote the book on American wild beer.
Okay.
So
they're
going to be there.
What does that mean, wild beer?
So beers with all these kinds of non-traditional beer yeasts.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about how it's being made. So this is if you're interested in it and you know, we're drinking one of their beers right now. If it tastes good to you, it tastes like not that many other things in the market. You go and learn about that. If you're interested... And learning how to homebrew. We're doing an event this afternoon at Smith Public Trust with DC Homebrewers and the Three Stars Homebrew Shop. And so it's just trying to get at all the issues that people are interested in but may not know enough about yet.
All right. We're going to have
I have a question.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to our questions in our roundtable. Hang on to that.
No.
Because I want to, yes. I want to get Dave Bovoli up to the microphone.
Okay.
Stay with me on this.
We don't have to stay exactly on
you
track.
You just stay with me, baby. Okay. All right. So, Dave.
It's exhausting.
Let's talk about Duvel Morgat and what you're doing on the Odyssey, because that's tonight's event, right?
Sure. Yeah. Tonight, that's the kickoff event for this year's DC Beer Week. So, we're really excited about that. It is on the Odyssey, which is a great way to really see this incredible city. I'm relatively new to D.C., been here about 3 months now.
From?
Actually relocated from Providence, Rhode Island.
Welcome.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, yeah, and really enjoying it.
You're not a Red Sox fan, are you?
You know, I'm originally from New York, so it makes it a little tough.
He's stepping to us. Come on.
So it does make it a little tough. But actually, originally from Syracuse, New York, and the farm team for the Nationals is Syracuse, the Chiefs. So, yeah, kind of, you know, I touch a lot of different things here in D.C., but
and
really
if we're
excited.
Talking baseball, we're talking beer.
Really excited tonight, you know, to be on the Odyssey and actually see the beautiful city from the water. So I think it's a great way to really see the city and see some of the sights. And at the same time, have the opportunity to taste some really incredible beer.
Now, these beers are not going to be available elsewhere during D.C. Beer Week, right?
A couple of them will be available, but there's a lot of fun, you know, fun kind of special stuff. We've kind of, you know, trying to make sure that we're answering the needs of all different, you know, consumers out there. So, you know, there is some more sessionable beers like our pop-up IPA. So that'll be there. We've got some former seasonal beers that we're bringing in, actually our spring seasonal from Brewery Omegang, which is called Glimmer Glass. Really nice, easy to drink. And then we're actually going to debut. We have a beer that nationally launches tomorrow. It's called Hibiscus Goza. Mm-hmm. And that's a sour beer. And so, you know, it's really kind of interesting. That will be launched nationally tomorrow, but we're actually going to let people try it tonight.
Okay. And so I know this is for the roundtable, but I'm jumping ahead. What is the big deal about sour beers?
Perfect.
People love it. It's delicious.
Yeah. Okay, but where does it come from? No. Nobody asked your opinion. Where does it come from? Like, What like I feel like I just started hearing about it 3 or 4 years ago.
Traditionally, they're Belgian style. Traditionally, okay. You're looking at stuff like, you know, you're talking about Frambois and stuff like that. Lambics, those are sour.
Are those sour beers?
Those are sour.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's sweet beers.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times the sweetness of those can be masked, but a lot of times, you know, the traditional versions of those styles, even with fruit, are quite sour. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it comes from roots of like, you know, farmhouse brewing, where you've got natural elements coming into the production of beer that you can't necessarily control.
But who tasted a sour beer first time and said, can't wait to put a sandwich with that?
Yeah, they've been around and around and around since, I mean, probably all beer was sour, you know, at some point because it was all fermented from whatever was naturally in the air occurring locally. And it's almost, the sour beers almost have a sense of terroir like you get with wine because you're getting a little teeny bit of whatever that local atmosphere can produce coming into your beer.
So is that part of the yeast that's causing that, or it's just atmosphere?
It's yeast or a natural bacteria that's not harmful.
But now you all are creating these sour beers. You're creating them intentionally. So you're picking whatever kind of bugs, whatever it is you want to use to create the sour, right?
And create some really interesting flavors. The goza that we'll have tonight actually is, you know, it is sour. It's also in the traditional style of a goza. It's slightly salty.
Okay.
But it also has a little tiny bit of sweetness from the hibiscus flowers. And it's actually pink, too, which is really kind of cool. So, you know, when you see that in a glass, it's really kind of shocking.
A pink beer? How's a real man supposed to drink it?
Well, you know, the pink is all natural. It comes from the flowers. So.
I can't let my fans see me.
It's a good thing you're on radio.
Yeah. Real men aren't afraid of pink.
Well, actually, it's a good thing I don't have any fans. That's another thing.
Yeah, so there are tickets available for the cruise tonight. They can certainly get them at dcbeerweek.net. There's a link there to go ahead and buy tickets. The event tonight starts at 5 p.m. for our VIP members or at 6 for regular members.
And it's rain or shine, right?
Rain or shine. You know, the boat is fully enclosed. You can, you know, be outside. If it isn't going to rain, it's not going to rain tonight. I'm pretty sure it's not going to rain tonight.
No, it's going to be beautiful. All right, great.
Man's an optimist. all right, I'll let you break Gina over the coals.
Come on, Gene.
Step up there.
Gina Chersavane. Maybe you've heard of her.
Up. All right. All right.
She's such a bad girl.
All right, so Gina, everybody thinks about you when it comes to cocktails, but here you are today discussing D.C.
Not drinking them, making them.
Making them, of course. And drinking them every now and
then. And drinking them every now
I used to imbibe, I feel like. Now I'm an imposter.
Beer and Gina Trisorvani, how does that happen?
Very simply, Mike Ciccone, who is my beer guy at Hank's Oyster Bar, beer enthusiast, lover of all things, is right now at Hank's because today's our barbecue, which is all you can eat oysters, beer, and barbecue all day.
So good.
Why are we there? Don't bring any with you, by the way.
Thanks.
Well, hey, you guys are all welcome to come. And then, but what we're doing is Mike's doing a closeout. We're doing the closeout of Beer Week at Suburbia. So we're actually pairing up with Catoctin Creek and the following breweries. And I wrote them down because I didn't want to mess this up.
Okay, good.
So we're obviously Three Stars, DC Brow, Chocolate City, Atlas Beer Works, Right and Proper, Lost Rhino, Mad Fox, Port City, and Flying Dog will all be at Union Market on the 24th on Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Yep, from 2 to 8. Mm-hmm. And it's called Brewers on the Block.
Okay.
And it's our first year doing this event. So it'll be outside. And then Catoctin Creek is taking some of the beers that, well, so Catoctin Creek has given some barrels to some different breweries, and they've made beer. And then Catoctin Creek has growlers of certain things that are coming back to us, and they'll be spun into frozen drinks with Catoctin Creek rye.
They're making slushies.
And the gin, making nice. Slushies.
Okay.
So that's, you know, where,
if
that's
the distillers
my...
and the brewers can get together, why can't there be peace in the Middle East?
I know.
It just seems like that should be a
natural. Yeah, because they got to start drinking.
That's the problem.
Some people in the Middle East don't drink. That could be the issue.
They got to start drinking.
The cause of and solution to all problems.
Red Apron's going to be there as well doing hot dogs, and they're doing different, their hot dogs done in different beer. So it should be pretty interesting to see what they've done.
Are you going to do any beer bagels?
No beer. That's a good idea, actually, right? No, I think this time we're just going to stick with the libations and hope for the best.
Okay. And what about the beer program at Hank's? Like, tell us about what you guys are doing there and how that's expanded over the years.
So if you've ever been to Hank's on the Hill, everyone knows it's super small, but we have a really aggressive. And as we've been changing our cocktail list, we're in the middle of writing a cocktail book. So we're 18 weeks in. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we've changed our beer program along with it every single week. So they change. Instead of having something that sits stagnant, we literally buy for the week, go through it, and then have the next special. And we have nice, good relationships with, obviously, Three Stars and DC Brow, and get, you know, different releases from all over, a lot of breweries from all over the country. And then we'll put it on. And we only have four taps. But we do 36 now by the can and the bottle. Mm-hmm. So for a small space and changing weekly, it's pretty amazing for the demand.
Great. All right. Well, we have to take a quick break. Does she have to say one more thing?
Yes.
Always.
I'm being prompted.
Yes, I know. I watched
the,
it.
The barbecue will be brought to you by Hank's on the Hill.
Okay.
You know, that was kind of hot.
That was very sexy. Very sexy, Gina. All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
The National Building Museum presents Designing for Disaster, a new exhibition exploring how design, engineering, and construction respond to natural disasters. Discover how we can save lives and build more resilient communities. Featuring the interactive Wall of Wind, where visitors of all ages can test proof performance in hurricane force winds. Open now at the National Building Museum. Find hours and admission information online at nbm.org. That's nbm.org.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking about and celebrating DC Beer Week, which started today. If you're interested, there are over 200 events, so go to dcbeerweek.net, and you'll get all that info. Brandon Scala is also here. He's one of the co-founders of DC Brown.
That's right. Yep.
I see. I got that right, man. And I mean, let's get right to it. You've got a crab feast at Quarterdeck coming up. That's your event, right?
Yeah, yeah. We do. We've got just a ton of events this week. At the crab fest, though, is always one of our favorite. It's sort of our legacy event. It's the third year we've done it. It's at the Quarterdeck, which is the crab house that my parents took me to when I was growing up. So I've got a really sort of special.
Give an address.
There you go, 1200 Fort Myer Drive. It's right behind Fort Myer.
Say a little bird.
Tweet. It's really quite beautiful. You're up on the hill there. You can see a lot of the city, and the crabs are, you know, second to none.
And so it's just crabs and your beer?
Yeah, so it's basically $50, all-you-can-eat crabs. So you can sit down at 5 o'clock and start picking and then, you know, sit there all the way till close if you want. And the beers are all DC Brow beers, $1 a pint, $5 a pitcher.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is like our pull-all-the-stops-out event. It really is a really special event for us.
Today's our son's birthday, but the heck with him.
We're going to eat crabs.
He'll have another one.
But, you know, so that event is actually, there's only about 50 tickets left for it. It's a cap of 200 tickets, and so if you're interested in going to that event, I really suggest you log on to our Facebook page today or call up the Quarterdeck today and make sure that you have a seat. But we've got a bunch of other events all week long. Dave was talking about the Barrel Age Beer event, and that's a competition between us, but the real winner is the DC Brewers Guild, because I do want to make a mention that proceeds from that are going to go to the DC Brewers Guild, which is a really newly formed trade association to help represent all the breweries in Washington, D.C.
And what is that? Is that for lobbying and things of that nature?
It's for awareness. It's for education. It
sounds to me like you boys need a marketing agency, which I just happen to know.
Advocacy. You know, there's a lot of elements of this sort of business, because it is so new in the district, where we do need a lot of help and a lot of awareness and a lot of education, especially for lawmakers and people like that, so they understand what we're doing.
Well, does this go back to, wasn't a recent law passed, because now you can drink like at Dave's Brewery and your brewery?
Very recent.
What was it?
We were fighting for that for quite a while too, but I mean, it's been an uphill battle this whole time. I mean, as far as, you know, being allowed to sell growlers, being allowed to get a tasting permit, we weren't allowed to do that. We had to write the legislation to get a tasting permit so people come to the brewery and taste.
Amazing.
It's just, but that's the process of how you take businesses that are basically extinct in an area and bring them back to life. You need to update those laws, because there hadn't been anybody advocating for brewery law in the district since 1956.
So does the guild, I mean, are there elected leaders and all of that?
Yep. And
all right, who's that?
So there's Mari from our brewery. We've got Thor in there.
Yeah,
there's
Thor Cheston.
Yep, there's a bunch of folks from a whole bunch of local brewing institutions involved.
Cool.
Very, very cool. Well, wait, we wanted to talk about your solidarity brew.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Okay. I mean, this is the third year that we've done this beer, and there's a story behind it. The first year, we all sort of brewed our own beer, and then the next year, we decided that we should probably just have one centralized brew, but people could still brew that beer. So the first year, it was a Saison that was brewed. And that was debuted on the Odyssey Cruise, actually, a couple years ago. Then last year, it was an English Summer Ale, which was really fun, and everybody came to our brewery, and we all hung out, and, you know, it was brewers from all these local DMV breweries, and we all hang out. I think Bill Madden brought a growler of water from Virginia to pour into the beer. And this year we did the same thing. I mean, we had over a dozen local breweries there. Dave and Mike were there. Barrett was there from the Chop House. I mean, we had folks from Heavy Seas all over the area were there. And a lot of folks brought like hops this year. So we actually have a lot of hops in the beer as a result of that. There's like six types of hops in the beer. But it's a great sessionable IPA. It's only about 4.5%. That's the word session. So you're able to drink a few of them without really feeling that alcohol kick in. And
so how do you manipulate all of that to make it?
It all has to do with recipe development. I mean, you know, you put less malt in, you're going to extract less sugar, and you're going to have less alcohol at the end of the day. But then the struggle with doing that is you have to make sure your beer is still balanced, especially on a style that can be, you know, as hop-centric as an IPA. Mm-hmm. It creates a little bit of a challenge, but the final product is always, like, pretty tasty, because you really get to see these hops showcased in a way where you don't have so much malt, you know, fighting for place in your palate.
The whole solidarity thing is a great segue to the rest of the show is a roundtable, so get ready to step in. But, Dave, I'll start with you. You can start it off. When we first met you guys, I mean, craft beers were barely out of, you know, out of the home kitchen where people would bottle, you know, whatever. And now the craft beer arena is really maturing. There's Uber competition.
I think everybody knows that some of the big beers.
But it sounds like it's nice competition.
But wait. That's local. I'm asking, you know, nationally, because now you've got craft beers that are producing 2 million barrels, and that to me doesn't sound craft. That sounds like big beer, and like the expanded definition of what constitutes a craft beer is for the convenience of like a Sam Adams that's growing huge and is, you know, has huge production now. They're not just a local beer that everybody loves up in Boston or along the East Coast.
Right. Well, I mean, part of that is that some of the definitions around craft beer have been adjusted to allow certain people still to fall into that realm.
Is that BS or is that...
That depends on who you're asking. If you're asking... If you're asking me, I'd say that the kind of our forefathers, the Sam Adams, the Sierra Nevadas, the Anchor Steams, they paved the way for all of us. They were the originators, and therefore you gotta let your elders still play in the realm that they designed, essentially.
All right, but Dave Moran, when you're buying craft beers, in quotes, you know, at some point you got Budweiser ain't no craft beer. So I mean, where do you draw the line?
I think we draw the line by truthfully what sells. You see what, you know, you put
it... you're a capitalist.
Well, no, it's a businessman.
We've
experimented with, you know, there's a beer we love. We put it on. Well, the reality is in 6 months, if that beer is not selling...
What's the point?
What's the point? And taking up a line from somebody else that could have an opportunity, and we've seen that as well. And I think, as I said earlier, that's what we are seeing is the Sams and the Sierras that have had our taps for 15 years, they are slowly going away because people are, they're asking, what's local, what's good?
Well, can we just expand on that just a little bit? So my question is that looking at Samuel Adams and Sierra Nevada for your local breweries, what are your goals? I mean, how many other markets do you want to get into? And is it beneficial to? I mean, it is a business. You do want to make money. But is your bread and butter mainly local, or are you looking to break into other markets, and what's best for you?
That depends on how you stylize and set up your business plan. For Mike and I, most importantly is DC. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at a certain point to grow
DC,
the business.
DC, Virginia, Maryland?
Yeah. Right. The DMV is okay. Most important to us. But then after that, it depends on how you want to grow your business and what's good for your business. Mm-hmm. Some businesses want to be huge. They want to be multinational companies. Some businesses, like myself, I'd say that we want to be in the DMV. We want to have a solid mid-Atlantic representation. And then we want to be in choice markets outside of that. Okay. That's the plan for three stars, at least.
A couple things I want to say quickly about big beer, small beer, you know, some of these monikers that get passed around, they're kind of misunderstood and confused, as well as the history of beer in general. So there's a lot of like big beer bashing going on, and some of it is merited and some of it's not. But credit has to be given, like Dave was saying, you know, to our forefounders in craft beer and in beer in general, people who paved the way, people who kept beer alive during Prohibition when, you know, breweries all around the city and all around the country were collapsing. Some of these larger beer brewers and distributors, they kept beer alive so that it could be picked up later on. Other thing that has to be said, I guess, about Sam Adams and Sierra Nevada.
Now we're congratulating the people that broke the law, but yeah.
You kind of have to. There's a bit of law breaking that goes on, you know, when you do something like this. I think, you know, Brandon, Dave, myself, we probably broke a few laws when we were launching their breweries and...
The fifth.
Hello, FBI.
We wrote a letter. We wrote a letter to ABRA telling them that we were not going to abide by what they said the law was because, in our interpretation of reading the law, we could sell growlers. And after I wrote them a letter before we started selling growlers, but we went ahead and started selling growlers, and we got a letter back from them within 3 weeks that said, "We see your definition is correct. Go ahead and sell growlers."
Oh.
So, I mean, I think there's a bit of, I mean, if you're going to reform laws, you have to take a stance at some point.
Exactly. And that's kind of what, you know, has to be said about Sam Adams and Sierra Nevada. These people, you know, 20 years ago when nobody was really thinking craft beer, these people were going door to door, bar to bar, selling these beers. And and there's still a very small percentage of the global beer market. So it might be big or they look big compared to a DC Brow or to a Three Stars, but they're still very small. They're still very artisanal. And a lot of passion still goes into what they do. Same thing with Duvel Mort God or some of these other companies that might be based overseas. These are passionate brewers, people who are artisan, people who are craftsmen. And you can definitely taste the difference between a beer that was thought about and that was well made versus beers that, you know, just were kind of put together and bottled and shipped over wherever they were shipped.
The real BS is what's going on sort of in craft beer marketing or crafty marketing, which is not necessarily reflective of guys like Sam Adams or Sierra Nevada, but the big guys are seeing this huge loss that they're having to craft as a whole. Right. And what they're doing is they're packaging product to make it look like craft.
And they're using
that's
the
really
word
not.
Craft.
And so it really falls on the consumer. Before you buy a beer at the grocery store or your corner store or wherever, look at that label. Because it might look like a craft label, but somewhere hidden on there, if it's not, you'll see who it's brewed by. Right. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Well,
so,
but that, you know, that sort of brings up another question, because at some point, I mean, we talk about new beers and experimentation and let's put perfume in it and cleanser. And I mean, at some point, isn't it getting ridiculous? I mean, there's so many different, you know, little things and bugs and all that stuff. Does it?
Can we not call it bugs?
I mean, hold on. Dave, do you think that when you're going out to a restaurant, when you're going out to a restaurant and you're experiencing a dinner made by, you know, the hot chef in D.C., whoever that may be, and they're using ingredients that you're not familiar with, and it's blowing your mind, is that ridiculous, or
yeah,
is that what you want?
My point is sometimes it doesn't blow my mind. Sometimes
then drink
it's
a Budweiser.
Overkill.
That's cool. Drink a Budweiser.
Don't get mad.
I'm not.
Come on.
I'm not. I'm just saying. There's a time and place.
Beast versus beast.
You know how I feel about your baby. Just relax. No, I just mean that at some point the craftsmanship and the artistry can go over the top. And actually, Chris, that's sort of where, you know, you might want to jump in, because do you see that?
I mean, I think that sometimes you could see beers jumping the shark a little bit. It's more in conception than in actual flavors of a beer. But I mean, there's always going to be a stratification. I think that's a good thing, that we have more beers available, more types of beers. I mean, we're drinking right today a beer based on vermouth and a double IPA, and they are very different styles of beer. And now every beer is not perfect for every occasion. So I think having that wide range is a good thing. We're not all just basically stuck drinking IPAs all the time anymore. Mm-hmm. That you know, we need that in the market.
Well, I think now there's all these, you guys have launched all these different beers. I mean, Brandon, I don't know how many you guys have right now. How many beers are you producing?
We've made near 70 in the past 3 years.
Okay, and you said 35?
About 35, yeah.
So what are, can we just talk about the different styles and talk about what you're serving in your restaurants and how it all works together? Like, what are some of the bigger styles that you were serving, or styles maybe that you didn't think you would do that now you are doing?
Well, I mean, when Mike and I set out to design the brewery and set out what our recipes were going to be, we wanted to make beers that we like. So we like big, bold, complex beers that are hopefully high in alcohol. That's just who we are. But so we have beers
that
like...
That is shocking.
It is shocking.
I know,
I know. My parents are listening and they're probably shocked right now.
I told you that boy to amount to nothing.
But we do the Pandemic Porter, which is our Imperial Porter. Big roasted malts. Lots of coffee and chocolate notes to it. At 9.6% alcohol. We do our Imperial Brown, which is our Southern Belle, which we brew with toasted pecans. So we're using a non-traditional ingredient. But at the same time, we also make a white IPA, and we make saisons, and we make very sessionable things as well. And it's basically, you design all these different beers because beer is so subjective that what's right for one segment of your market isn't going to be right for another segment of your market.
And also, people's palates evolve over the course of their beer life, if you will. And different flavors that are intriguing to them at one point a year or 2 years later aren't, and they sort of move on to other aspects of beer.
Hence sours.
Right. We're going to come back.
We'll be back. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast and all the guys from DC Beer Week. We'll be back in just a sec.
When you do all your activities, the IP address they see is the IP address of the proxy server. Because you see, it's called a proxy server because you send the request to that server and it actually makes the web request on your behalf. The website that's being contacted actually only sees the IP address of the proxy server. There are some proxy server systems that are designed to really be super anonymous, so they'll even hide your identity even further.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking Beer Week, which started today and goes through the 24th. And we got
DC
a bunch
Beer
of
Week.
DC Beer Week. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But quickly, I just want to thank the folks that make this show possible. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry with the best fresh killed bagels ever, ever in this city. Neighborhood Restaurant Group, the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay, the American Lamb Board, the Virginia Wine Board. If you're not a sponsor of this show, shame on you. You should be. But I don't want anybody to feel bad. Just guilty. So let's get back to this conversation. One of the things that occurred to me is that, all right, the D.C. restaurant scene is exploding. The D.C. regional beer scene is exploding. It's kind of already clogged with competitors. So will there be a huge implosion at some point? Will some people go away because there's just not enough room in the marketplace for all suddenly – or at some point, all that supply and Dave Moran and Dave Moldy.
I think, you know, certainly, you know, as long as the brewers keep true to their craft and create really, really great beer, I think that this industry can continue to grow exponentially. I really do.
Well, you also reach so many new customers, people who aren't really familiar. I mean, I'm a perfect example. I'm not really a beer drinker, as most people in this room knows, but I've certainly developed a palate for it. I mean, given all the different kinds that are available now.
But you're not a customer, so you don't, you're not. You may have developed a palate for it, but I've never seen you order a beer in 20
years. No, but if people ask me, but I know what, but I can talk about it. And if somebody asks me what they should have and I'm at a place and I see what's on the list, I know what the beer is.
So is that the deal? Do you have to have more people drinking beer or the same number of people drinking more beer?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, and somebody touched on it earlier about, you know, people's palates developing. And I think that's definitely happening in, you know, all over in food and drink, you know, here in the United States. You know, consumers have, you know, really changed types of food that they eat. If you thought back, you know, 20, 25 years ago, you know, there weren't the number of ethnic restaurants and the number of restaurants that have really bold, spicy flavored food. Mm-hmm. You know, the beer that, you know, is being brewed now really goes well with a lot of those foods. You know, so as consumers' palates develop on the food side, definitely that happens on the drink side as well.
And what about at Old Ebbitt?
The answer to that, I think, is that quality will last. So, mm-hmm. you know, our restaurants last 150 years, but as the brewers come on, I think there's room for growth in the industry, mm-hmm. but eventually the good operators and those who hone their craft will be the ones, because I don't know if there'll be a shakeout per se, but it's like in the restaurant business, bad restaurants
don't last.
Consumers
right.
eventually vote. And I think that's what's going to happen on the side as well.
All right. Well, we have a couple minutes left. I just want to hit some of the big events for DC Beer Week. Let's go to each of you. Dave, we'll start with you.
All right. So we already talked about the barrel throwdown happening down at Boundary Stone. Mm-hmm. But we've also got the thing at Suburbia. But what I'm probably most excited about is Saturday the 23rd, I believe it is, at the brewery. We're going to get some live music out there. We're going to have some food trucks. We're going to debut some beers that aren't available in the market.
So this is at Three Stars.
This is at mm-hmm. Three Stars, which is 6400 Chillin' Place Northwest. It's going to be noon to 6. It's going to be a great time.
What a great street when you think about it. What do you do with your beers? Chill them.
Exactly. So we're going to be debuting some new stuff, and we're also going to have bottle sales, pint sales, flight sales, all the normal bells and whistles that we now have thanks to the new pint law. So I'm super stoked on that as well.
Excellent. All right, Brandon?
Yeah, well, I've got some good news. If you just can't wait for DC Beer Week to start, mm-hmm. I've got an event starting in about 7 minutes on H Street at Granville Moores. And I'm going there right after the show, but we're debuting two special barrel-aged versions of the On the Wings of Armageddon double IPA, which were sort of a collaborative effort with Granville Moores. They got us a Caledonia gin barrel, mm-hmm. As well as a Catoctin Creek barrel. So that beer has been sitting in those barrels for several months and is going to finally debut for the public today. And in addition to that, there's our Crab Fest, which is our flagship event for the week,
right.
The barrel-aged event. I'm really excited about to be able to hang out with Dave and watch people enjoy some barrel-aged beers side by side. And we actually have two very similar barrels for that event. We've got some Woodford Reserve barrels that we have had beer in for quite some time that we're pulling out that both came from sort of the same batch of whiskey. So that'll be a fun little thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I just ask, I mean, what did you each do differently for those beers?
It's just the beer that's in them, really. I mean, we've got different beers in the barrels.
Okay. Yeah.
And our beers are kind of different where, you know, they've got their porter and their stout and their Wings of Armageddon and mm-hmm. Our beers don't match up side by side. Okay. So like double IPA next to double IPA, they're very different.
Very different.
Porters are very different. All of that's very different. So we're putting our own versions into these barrels and just showcasing kind of what each of us does as a different company.
All right. Well, cool. Miles and Dave, come on up and talk about what's happening at Old Ebbets and at Smith Commons.
Yeah, so over at Smith Public Trust, we have a homebrew demo today starting at 3 with the DC Homebrewers, DC Homebrew Shop, 3 Stars, and DC Hops. On Tuesday, we'll be doing a Meet the Brewer with Atlas Brew Works. On Thursday, we'll be bringing over some cats from the Smithsonian and Thirst DC to just kind of talk about all things nerdy and throw a big party. And then this weekend, we'll be doing a run with the District Run Collective and Omegang Brewery. Which,
how can you drink beer and run?
I don't know how these guys do it. Somehow or another, they wake
what
up.
Do?
Why don't you call it a run and barf?
Yeah,
it's pretty good for you, actually, because it'll replenish a lot of the stuff you deplete.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah, like in that
sounds like marketing to me.
No, in that book, Pediococcus. Unbroken.
Yeah, beer's the new Gatorade, apparently. So,
that's right. When I run, my Pediococcus just goes crazy.
Louis Zamperini drank beer to... replenish was running. The guy in Unbroken.
Louis Zamperini. Yes. Yeah. And then he blew lunch.
Yeah, so they'll be meeting up over at Smith Public Trust. They'll do a run and then they come back and we'll be doing Omegang beer specials. But as a young restaurant operator, I think that my money is really on Friday's event over at Old Ebbets Grill, the Brouhaha. Last year it was pretty stellar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, us young restaurant operators, we look up to Old Ebbets.
Got the love that just flows through this room.
Well, so we talked a little bit about Brouhaha, but let's give everybody.
It's Friday night, the 22nd, mm-hmm. from 8 to 11 at the Old Ebbets. Mm-hmm. Tickets are $65. It's all inclusive. And you come in, you're going to eat from 9 of the best chefs in town. The brewers that are involved this year are DC Brow, Devil's Backbone, Flying Dog, 3 Stars, Lost Rhino, Heritage Brewing, mm-hmm. Atlas Brew Works, Blue Mountain Brewery, and Full Tilt from Baltimore. So we got a really great sampling from all around the region.
And who are the chefs participating?
The chefs are, we've got the Old Ebbets Grill, we've got the Pig Restaurant, Occidental, the Fainting Goat, the Source, Lion Hall, Jack Rose, at Clyde's Tower Oaks Lodge.
Okay, great. So that's good a great one.
Yeah,
okay,
so it should be fun. And last year it sold out at 700 people a couple days before. This year we tweaked it a little bit to get some more folks in. So tickets are $65 and you can get them on the Ebbets website, ebbets.com.
Right. Okay, great.
Dave Mavoli, we only have a couple of secs here. So let's let Dave, you want to talk about tonight?
Sure. I really, really trying to push the event tonight. Hope everybody comes out and joins us. It's a great opportunity to certainly see the city, but also kick off DC Beer Week. Tickets are still available. And once again, you can get those at dcbeerweek.net.
And Chris, just come up to the mic lastly. As the co-editor of DC Beer, what's like the one or two event that can't wait to do?
That's not an easy question.
Now.
I think I'll put on the education hat and push some of those. So on Monday, we have basically draft quality maintenance and stewardship. So basically making sure that the beer gets poured the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the one for industry people. Basically, if you work for a brewery or if you work for a restaurant and you want to learn basically how beer should be served, mm-hmm. That's going to be at Jack Rose from 1 to 3. And then later on that night at City Tap House, we're going to have something on off flavor. So if you taste the beer and it doesn't taste quite right, this will explain why.
Like not sour, but corked kind
right.
of?
So it's basically, like the same, the equivalent with beer. There's sometimes it'll taste like, you know, kind of wet cardboard or something like that. And mm-hmm. you can identify why that is, if it's your fault at the brewery. Or if it's the restaurant.
We are having the wet cardboard producers on next week, so just be cool.
Sorry, guys.
All right. So, Gina, you got 15 seconds. Hit it. You want to talk about
it? But you got to get up to that mic.
Really quickly. Suburbia, it's August 24th. Be there at Union Market from 2 to 8. Come see all the breweries. We've got 9 breweries to be out there, and you can get your slushy on with your beer.
All right. That's about it. Go to dcbeerweek.net or go to the listareyouonit.com to find out about everything going on with DC Beer Week and everything else going on in the marketplace. Follow Nikki on Twitter. Listen to her on WTOP today at 1250, 1250, excuse me.
Yep.
And follow her.
1150's already passed.
And on Thursdays at
12:50? What time?
It's at 12:10.
Okay.
Okay.
And then follow us at the beach all next week. Thank you.
All right. And next week's show is going to be fantastic. We've got Oyster Fest. It's coming to Union Market, and they're going to be in studio. And Epicureans is happening.